blessings
and the respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I feel most deeply bound to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By the compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Jen?
Just been feeling a lot of gratitude. Yeah. We say it all the time, don't we?
We do. Isn't that great?
Isn't that great? we had an at-home workshop day yesterday, and at the end of the day, all came together, everyone who had participated in the day and had, you know, one group discussion, and I found it incredibly inspiring. And in particular, there was someone who was talking about a situation where normally, you know, the karma would be X. And yet, what I heard in it as the whole thing, the momentum went towards X, there was just this pivot. Mm-hmm. And then there was just presence. Mm-hmm. That's what I projected onto it. Mm-hmm. And that is where the gratitude has been for me, mm-hmm. is watching in just a variety of different situations that X momentum, and with no I efforting, mm-hmm. just a stillness, mm-hmm. with it, and an amazing just wow. Mm-hmm. It's like practice is just there, mm-hmm. to hold it.
Yeah, so there's the stillness that just happens. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it just
happens. That's exactly where I was going to.
But it's really hard to describe. So let's say it two ways. One, there is no I that's there that's making it happen.
Yeah, which is why it feels like it's just happening.
Yes, so that would be on that end. And it's, we might say, a result or it follows lots of years of training.
Yeah.
It follows lots and lots of intention and practice, and so it's quote just there.
Yeah, yeah.
But so it's in sort of that, mm-hmm. that container of whatever, you know, the language would be, that the gratitude just is there. Yeah. The presence, simultaneous, maybe even synonymous with the gratitude.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it feels like it's a theme right now, at least around here, of that place of. So they're just those little tiny moments, mm-hmm. right? And of course, that's all we have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in those little tiny moments, in those little tiny quote choices, mm-hmm. especially in those places where it's just me, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there's so many quote marks in there.
I know,
right?
Really. Everything's in a quote.
Yeah. No one's watching. Mm-hmm. Is it going to make a big difference one way or the other? Nah. You know, is this moment going to open everything up? Yeah. Is this moment going to shut everything down? Probably not.
Yeah. It's not going to make or break you.
It's not going to make or break. Mm-hmm. But that's making practicing moment by moment is what creates that suddenly practice is there and it's happening.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I do. Now, and it's such a sweet yes every mm-hmm. single time it happens. Yes. It's so little.
Yeah.
There was a tweet recently that came through that was, what is the tiniest thing you can show care for today?
Uh-huh.
You know, a bean, a loose thread, whatever it is, a little bug, you know. And there's such a sweetness, and it feels kind of similar, isn't it? That yes, every time that presence is there to notice it.
Yeah.
The presence is there and notices it.
Yeah, yeah. And again, just that gratitude that comes from that. Just so many situations, but a couple in particular stick out. One a couple of days ago where I suddenly just had this string of things that mirrored, I guess you could say that I wasn't here, but even more than that, that there was a rushing, you know, like a whoa, whoa, this, and so kind of a skating over details that like, okay, got that. But then having, like, showing up in a situation and having missed a pretty significant detail. And so it just mirrored, okay, there's something going on here. But like two or three things about it. One is there was no self-hate, no feeling bad.
Yeah.
There was just this incredible, and again, it wasn't like okay, now I'm not going to feel bad.
Yeah.
It was just this, so much energy, because it was like, wow, this is exciting.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty unprepared here.
Uh-huh.
But it was a sense of, I just want to be here.
Uh-huh.
Whatever's here, I just, and even that's kind of too much language for it, but just a sense of, just here. There's nowhere to go, there's no reason to leave. There's no, you know, normally it would be like, okay, I got to get really good.
Yeah.
I got to be a good girl.
Really, yes.
You know, like pull back, get control of the situation. But there was just this sense of just being here with it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it felt like there was room for any information that there was in that.
Mm-hmm.
So there can often be an assumption of, okay, I've gone unconscious and I've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get good again.
Mm-hmm.
But that in that, it's like, okay, maybe. Or maybe there's just something about what's going on that actually isn't working.
Yeah.
You know? And so let's just communicate about that.
And in that second way, has nothing whatsoever to do with the me.
Nothing.
Because there is no me, and there's no need to, and there's no willingness in that moment to create a me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
On the part of the human
to
go with, because on the part of conditioning, there's always the me trying to be created. But in that moment that you're describing, that, well, maybe, you know, kind of there's just open to whatever.
Yeah.
There's just no willingness to recreate, to go spin a me that's going to react to this situation.
Yeah. And so then there's the room to communicate and say, guess what happened?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here are the string of things, and here's what I'm seeing about it.
Yeah.
Here are some things that have occurred to me.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, it's just, there's no I there that wants something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just a, what do you think?
And you don't even have to say, and I'm okay with whatever, because then there's just another me asserting that I'm okay with whatever, you know?
Oh, precisely.
Uh-huh.
Precisely.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. I mean, that's a subtle level that I've been working with. Is so often there's a, so I don't know, that's just my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah. I'm not attached,
right?
But I am here.
Yeah.
But I am a me.
Exactly.
It's not being attached.
Exactly. So then there's just putting it out, and then just whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then in another situation where I just had an interaction that, in the middle of the interaction, it was as if, it was this amazing, just watching the interaction happen, and watching the karma not get triggered. And it was like, wow.
Wow.
That's different.
That's exactly it. That's different.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a Groundhog Day kind of,
uh-huh.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah. Or that X-Files you sometimes talk about.
It is, like, exactly.
That's different. That's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Where the same thing happens over and over and over. And it reminds me of an image we used in our pod yesterday, but that, so the same thing happens over and over and over, and there can be a frustration with that, but it's like as soon as that karmic frustration is worn away,
mm-hmm.
and there's just a, okay, here it goes, in a way, that's the opening for the other thing to happen.
Yes, and that keeps occurring to me, and what you just said, that the karma, as you described at the very beginning, that there's this karmic you know, and then all of a sudden there was presence, you know, this karmic movement. Mm-hmm. The karma is a required thing in that equation. Mm-hmm. It's just required. Mm-hmm. And so it's only the feeling bad that it's a requirement that keeps it rolling forward, that keeps the other from actually being able to be experienced.
Yeah.
It's not that the other doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
It's that we just don't get to experience.
Precisely. I was recording about that yesterday. And actually this morning, the image that dropped in as I was recording is one that it's like the karma has this little tiny spark. You know, it brings a little tiny thing with it, but it's little tiny. Mm-hmm. And that's all it can bring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that if that little tiny spark comes, it's like an ember from a fire. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes out of the stove and it's like, it easily just goes out. No mm-hmm. one even has to put it out. Mm-hmm. It just, if you don't do anything to it, it just goes out. Yeah. But that the habit is to fuel it.
Yeah.
And the fuel is attention.
Yes.
So the karma has that little tiny spark, and we just, not realizing we're doing it,
yeah.
We just give it this huge amount of energy with the attention, and then it just blows into this huge thing.
Yeah.
And so I think there's why there's that joy when there's that little tiny spark. It happens, and we just watch it go out.
Yes. Oh, that just landed on hard tile. No danger there. Yeah, nothing's going to feed it. It's going to go, yeah.
Exactly.
But when it lands on our attention, mm-hmm. then, of course, it gets what it wanted to flame up. And so there is a joy, because we do have to be disidentified and the one watching it to enjoy that process of it just going out.
Yeah. And back to what I think you were saying a minute ago, that the other possibility, the life possibility, the presence possibility is always there, that mm-hmm. I suspect that what happens to get to that point of the ember just falling on the tile is that there is that awareness even every time the attention fuels the karma.
Yeah.
But in that, because it can feel like, of course, well, what I want is the ember falling on the tile. Mm-hmm. I don't want the whole thing to be blown, mm-hmm. you know. But when we get to the place where we realize, well, that's the karma being worn away, mm-hmm. that it's going to get fueled as many times as it gets fueled, mm-hmm. when that happens within awareness, even when we don't really tangibly feel that that's what's happening, mm-hmm. we can feel that I am it and it's true and all those things.
Yeah.
But when there's that tiniest bit of awareness, it is burning it out.
Yeah.
You know, it is wearing it away.
Yes. Oh, and that is such the good news. Yeah. And that's, to me, that what Sherry said on the radio show a long time ago, or not, you know, somewhat a long time ago, that it's inevitable.
Exactly.
That it's just a foregone conclusion.
You are going to be successful.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think goes back to that theme of doing those tiny little things over and over. And the way that we got talked out of it is, this is never going to change.
Yeah.
This isn't making any difference.
Yeah.
But it is. It is. We can't always see it. You know, we often see it in leaps, like we suddenly see it.
Yeah.
And then we're back in that tiny little moment by tiny little moment. But just that building of faith that happens, it is. It matters. This care, presence here in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. Really helpful to me right now. Something I'm looking at. But I also wanted to say first this, I'm just struck at the synchronicity of practice right now. Because I was just talking to a coach this morning about that exact thing, how years of practice contribute to doing the little things that now work. When you're in the beginning of practice, you do those little things, you're like, I don't see it. You know?
Yeah.
I can't even see what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And now, whenever someone's been in practice a while and they do the little things, they get kind of an immediate payoff is what happens with this person. And we had done something new during the week that were little things each day, and then she had this great big thing happen when something that normally would have triggered her didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just experiencing what she'd heard about, experienced it.
And now has.
Yeah, and it was just awesome. So we were both giddy on the phone. But this, what was talked about just then, relates to something I've been looking at, and that's being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
the karma of mm-hmm. being a victim, and the feeling bad is within that piece of
it's karma. A required element
yes,
of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I got really identified yesterday, and so it's really helpful to see how the attention on it made it grow.
Mm. Yeah, good. Yeah, you watched that happen.
Well, I can see it now. Uh-huh. That conversation just happened. I can see how I'm looking at it with abundance versus deprivation too. And how if you focus on deprivation, that's what you get.
Uh-huh.
And it grows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less money, you know, it keeps going down if you focus on not having anything, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing how that isn't it. That so what you're looking at and seeing all kinds of signs of, both with your coachee and with your own life, is how the attention, what we attend to, grows, accumulates, mm-hmm. you know, expands, whatever, and or deepens. And that works both. That works on both sides of the aisle, for the quote good stuff and quote bad stuff. You know, whether it's feeling successful or feeling victimized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's like with you know, losing weight. If you focus on losing weight and you have too much, then you keep gaining weight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's like
it's inevitable. It's just a kind of part of that process.
Yeah. And then those little things you do that contribute to the good health. Mm-hmm. Start to grow if you focus on those things, mm-hmm. you know, versus I can't lose weight,
yeah,
you know, or I can't exercise every day, or you know, I'm not saying I'm living that, I'm just seeing it,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, in that way, we're just talking about you, you are doing it because that's where your attention mm-hmm. is, so that's what's getting, that's what the kind of the tiny steps are. Mm-hmm. are going. We may not see those results, but that's what's happening because the seeing is definitely one of those steps, right?
Yeah, and it's like when my attention is on what I'm practicing with, is when my attention's on it, I'm redirecting my attention.
Yeah.
Like as soon as the conversation starts up, I'm practicing dropping it and turning my attention to what I could do instead of what I not doing or can't do. Does that
yes. So the, let me see. So the conversation might be something like, I want to lose weight, but I can't. I'm gaining weight, or I'm not doing those
things. Or setting up a plan to do it. Or
yeah.
All the conversations, the loop that just continually goes on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's what Sherry wrote in the newsletter this last week, wasn't it? That the I can't, I want to, and I can't mm-hmm. are really one process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what you're describing, when you're shifting the attention to what you actually are doing, or just what you know, the care you are showing, mm-hmm. is you're uncoupling those two, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't see that until you said it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And I mean, that seems like what it is—the practice of that. So it's like when, and it seems like there's this. So I'm a victim mm-hmm. in it because I can't get out of it,
mm-hmm.
and.
I want to, but I can't. Yeah,
exactly. And so the conversation starts like, well, how can I get out of it? Which is conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's all conditioning. Mm-hmm. Whatever all that.
That would be on the I want to side of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but I never have been able to get out of it. It's the story.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. It's just the story.
Yeah.
And then you keep going to that conversation. Okay. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. It's wanting to do it in a way that it's going to be this. Flash, you know, this quantum leap, that's been a phrase that's come up, and there's going to be a quantum leap, you know, out of it, versus the little things that we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but it seems like the attention has to be directed away from that whole process,
exactly.
which is making it grow, to another whatever
it
is. Yeah.
And I would say, I was going to see how you finished that sentence too. And all it is what kind of that care or that mm-hmm. thing, that whatever is in that one moment. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is right here in front of me to do? Park close to the store or park far away and get more steps? Okay, I'm going to park far away.
Yeah, every little thing.
Every little thing. You know, what is it to, you know, to have potato chips with my salad, or to have, you know, carrot sticks, or you know, whatever is right there, you know, to the choices are so minute in each moment, mm-hmm. that and that's the and it has nothing to do with the process of I want to whatever and I can't. Mm-hmm. It has to do with what is right here in front of me. Mm-hmm. That's the shift from that process to what's right here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the identification yesterday, I don't know how this relates. I mean, I know it relates, but I don't know how. And it's getting triggered by something someone else does. Mm-hmm. Like there's a karma that scans for I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And somehow I'm responsible for everything that happens in the entire world. and so if someone's unhappy, then I'm scanning. And so that feeds into that same victim karma. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened was I got triggered by something someone else said, and it was like the sixth time or seventh time that I said no, like we're not doing that, you know. And then I'm confused about what happened next, but then it was like I was tired of it. Like it was like I was a victim and I was tired of it.
Yeah.
And I just went into this moving away, like separation, complete separation from center, you know, uh-huh. and everything. Uh-huh. And I knew I could see it, yet it was like this emotional sort of thing.
Like being swept into, yeah. you can see it, but you're still going to get swept into yeah. the, I'm done, I know, I'm tired of this, I'm going to move away.
And I felt bad about it. Uh-huh. And I was a victim, you know, and I was a victim.
Yeah. Because, no, may I?
Yes, sure.
So if you was just, I'm tired of it, I'm moving away, I've said this 6-7 times, no, we're not doing this, and then just moved away, mm-hmm. if there was no and feeling bad about mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got swept up with, I'm tired of this, I'm moving away, what's, you know, there, no problem.
Right.
Okay.
If there wasn't the story.
Yeah. Because the victim, that person's not the victim, is she? The one who's just moving away, I'm tired of it. She's just, it's the, now I feel bad. That's where the actual victimhood happens, right? Is that so?
Well, I think what it is there's someone who feels like she's supposed to do what everybody else wants her to do.
Yeah.
You know, and if she's not doing that, then she's not okay.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like if she's disappointing others or... mm-hmm. And then conditioning comes in and beats her up, and you know, and it can be projected outward because that person isn't happy.
Yeah,
literally isn't happy about it.
Right, and I'm supposed to make that person happy, right. and that's my role and my job. I'm not doing it, and so there's something wrong with me, and then we're kind of a perfect setup for a beating. What is wrong with you? Why can't you be? You know.
And then the whole conversation just starts up. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It just goes into this, like, spiral, you know, downward. And
yeah.
And then there's this, what's funny about it is, but now I'm centered. It comes in. Uh-huh. But now I'm okay, you know. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I'm not unhappy. And, you know, all this stuff comes in like that. And it's just like this whole process. And it hasn't happened in a while.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, then it happens, and it does feel like it's burning away.
Yeah.
Because there is a level of awareness about it.
Yes.
And so, but ego wants to come in and fix it all.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, okay. With the, so that, but I am centered, that feels like, are you saying that's sort of a pseudo-zen kind of, but we're okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And you're just watching it all. That's what, I mean, I'm kind of picturing this person who's just kind of watching this whole karmic thing happen. And it's just what we were talking about, isn't it? That just seeing it. Is everything.
Seeing it, but not giving it attention.
Right. Well, but not, not engaging.
Right. Not engaging, not, and I think that's really was the key to it. Mm-hmm. Because it grew because I was giving it a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. Or ego was giving it a lot, however you say that. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it grew into something that was bigger than it should have been.
Uh-huh.
You know, like it just grew into something bigger. That if it had just been, accepting the fact that this was going on and not engaging with the conversation about how it's wrong and how to fix it and all of that, it would have just sort of just been the ember that just burned away, you know.
And is there a place that you can see that even that it flamed up again is okay? Okay, this happened again.
Yeah.
So that's the place of just watching. Even the whole the whole karmic pattern happens, get identified, and we can expand where even that is held in a perfectly nothing is wrong container.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to see that it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because with the one enneagram, it's supposed to be perfect. So.
Yeah, because we stay there. Oh, yeah. This shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
I should be beyond this.
Yeah.
But if we can grow and expand where it's okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not the one. Yeah, I'm the container, or what? No, it's not even right. But what we are is that which is holding it all.
The awareness can hold it all.
Yeah.
It can be. Well, we can't transcend what we don't encounter.
Yeah.
Right? So
exactly.
So encountering it at that level of awareness is a different way of seeing and being with it.
Yeah.
All of that. Obviously, well, I know it's a karmic process that's gone on for a while. Who knows how long? So to be with it in that way, in a different way, because of the transformation that's happened and the awareness that's available to this particular form of whatever it is, molecules.
Yeah. We kind of come up with some new ways to refer to ourselves, right? As not self.
Yeah, molecules.
It's more of molecules. This piece of matter that I'm calling me.
Yeah. So I think practicing with it in the way that to look at, just to be open to the little things that could lead to the awareness, you know, the one separating the wanting and the can't, and I can't. Yeah. I want them, but I can't. Separating those two is probably a good thing to look at, and then. To sit with, and then the little things, paying attention to the details.
For the sake of themselves, for their own sake.
For their own sake.
Not
without
to get somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For their own sake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Penny.
I have a gym coach who is forever saying, it's the teeny tiny things that make all the difference.
Mm.
And that keeps arising as we talk about these little things, and she's so right, you know, that and sort of a good place for that message to come in, because there, you know, when you're actively doing something, if you do a little teeny tiny thing off, it can hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really see, but I find that such a consistent message from practice to practice, you know. And so that just arose. Another thing that arose, we were talking about, you know, that sense of, you know, you do the teeny tiny thing because that's the training of the moment. Mm-hmm. And without, you don't do it because of some end result, although it's those teeny tiny things, you know, that eventually will generate something, which you may not know. But one of the images that has sometimes been used in here that I find immensely comforting is, you know, so you start to ride a bike and you fall off, and you start to ride a bike and you fall off, and you run into things, and you put on training wheels, and you know, and wobble around, and then you take off the training wheels and you fall down, and you know, and eventually you ride the bike. But the whole time you're doing it, you're riding the bike.
Yeah.
The whole thing is riding the bike.
Yeah. That is so comforting.
It is very comforting.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it feels like that's what we're describing.
Uh huh.
And of course, conditioning would say you're riding the bike when you are this proficient rider down the road. But you're riding the bike every moment.
Yeah.
You're engaged in that process.
Yes.
And all of it is fully riding the bike.
Yeah. And kids model that so well, isn't it, with the training wheels. This is my bike. Well, no, not according to conditioning. It's only when those training wheels come off that it's really a bike.
That's right.
You know, and it's just such a life designed to rob us of the experience of living.
Yeah.
Really?
One of my favorite moments with Sherry was, I was talking about loving to go. We used to live in San Francisco, and there was this dog park near us, and these people would, you know, they'd throw a ball, and it was so much fun to watch, you know, like you'd see this golden retriever running along, and it would stumble and fall and roll over and then get the ball and come back just as pleased as can be. You know? Or they'd throw it in the air and it would miss it completely, and then it would grab it. And I said, and it never seems to get discouraged. And Sherry says, and it never says, and I'm a retriever.
I should have gotten that.
I should have gotten
my name.
And that's another image that's helpful to me. And I wanted just to look at a couple of things. One is that the thing about being a victim, I am convinced that all the stories put me there. Uh-huh. Every story is intended to make me a victim. And what I just saw, what you were reflecting with, that in the last situation is that I want to and I can't is a statement of victimhood.
Uh-huh.
And I just got that. An affirmation of victimhood.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen that so clearly.
Yeah, that is the statement, the declaration of a victim.
Right? That's right.
I want to and I can't.
I'm
there, I exist.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so just two other things. This is sort of a potpourri of stuff that's responding to what's coming up this morning. Sherry talks a lot about how she loves to read history.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I. And I've been reading a number of history books lately. And honest to God, you know, all you do is change the names.
I know.
All you do is change the names. And all, what I'm looking at is all the ugly things that happen because people believe they're victims. All of it comes out of victimhood.
Uh-huh.
All of it.
Everything in history,
as far as I can tell,
happens, comes out of somebody's, collectively or individually, believing they're a victim.
Believing they're a victim. And so whatever they do is justified and to whomever. And that's just so interesting. I mean, And then, of course, you bring that back to, in a sense, what everybody's saying is, I want to, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I want to possess that, and I can't. And it comes right back to that place that conditioning puts us, which was that we're victims, mm-hmm. which means we're violent. It means we're that's the orientation we're going to have to life as long as we stay there.
Yes, when conditioning gets us in that place, the violence is one of the most popular, if not inevitable, outcomes from being in that place.
Yeah. So anyway, it's fun. It's sort of fun to see the macrocosm, and it really brings, you know, world peace, inner peace, right mm-hmm. back here too.
Mm-hmm.
And then just one other thing, I was noticing when you were talking about the way we conditioning causes us to keep karma in place, and I had this just one of those moments the other day where I responded in a way to a comment that is, I would call quite unskillful.
The comment or your response?
My response. Okay. And, but very habitual.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I sort of rolled my eyes and stomped off to do something that had been suggested. And then the response from, you know, the other party was, you don't have to respond like that. And it would have been so easy to get into that. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know, that person should have said that, I shouldn't have done that, oh my, and what I saw was, oh yeah, I do that, mm-hmm. and that person does that, and this is where we end up, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it was like, as far as I was concerned, anyway, it just ended. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I just got that, you know, that it was one of those embers.
Yeah, I was about to say,
the ember's still
that
there.
Was an ember landing on tile. It was like, that's it.
Yeah, and it's not like there's not going to be another ember.
Yeah.
But it didn't land on any fuel.
Yeah.
And I have to say, that's one of the first times. That there was no after, there was just the awareness, oh yeah, that happens.
It was just so clean.
It was like that, oh yeah, that happens. That's what I do, that's what the other person does. Mm-hmm. And this is where we end up, and that ended it. It was quite amazing. Mm-hmm. Because again, the message would always be, we have to do something mm-hmm. about that.
No, uh-huh.
You don't have to do anything about that.
Right.
Isn't that astounding?
It is astounding. And isn't it astounding that kind of step, this person does this, I did this is what just happened. It is just such a part of the world that is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have it so cleanly understood and experienced like that
mm-hmm.
makes it possible for us to go to that. Isn't that astounding, amazing, wonderful, delightful, you know, that we can do that? It's like we can't have that without that.
Yeah.
It's a part of it.
Yeah. And it takes all the victimhood and violence out of the situation.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point to bring it all back around to.
Yeah, there's nothing to defend.
Yeah.
There's nothing to feel bad about.
Yeah.
It just It just sucks it dry of all the fuel.
In fact, it leaves you in quite the opposite place.
Quite
feeling
the opposite
amazed,
place.
Astounded.
Yeah.
Grateful.
Me too.
Thank you. It's a point.
Well, just in the conversation this morning, it's been great, and I think I saw, I just saw more clearly for the first time that, you know, what we turn our attention to grows. And actually, and it seems to me life doesn't have a whole lot of stuff behind what we grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. It's for whatever we want.
We have whatever we want. You know, and it's only then that, you know, the meaning we make out of what's growing in our life, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I know from my own experience projecting that there's like some kind of force out there that's, you know, that victim thing,
mm-hmm.
that's really got it in for me,
uh-huh.
somehow. You know, that whole problem, then it, you know, becomes this, quote, problem, you know, and it's so, I just seen it, so, you know, here I am, you know, getting exactly what it is that, you know, I'm cultivating.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, you know, it's turning my attention to, and the field's blossoming and growing, and
uh-huh.
you know, and then it's like, and then getting mad that, you know,
it's there.
It's
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's sort of like a that getting mad that it's there, or that something's wrong with that, the fact that I'm now in this field of whatever I've been cultivating. That prevents us from saying, oh, I don't want to cultivate this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in this field. I think I want to, you know,
right.
pull it up and start over and do something else.
Yeah, or even realizing that we're the person there with the hoe and the...
Yeah.
That's right.
It's hard to feel like
right.
you're victimized and realize I'm the one doing this.
I'm the one holding the hoe, you know. Oh, wow, okay. And then, yeah, what a joyous thing to realize you can just, like, you know, hoe a different row.
Yeah, start.
I mean, it's already been said in so many ways this morning, but it just, you know, so that's what makes that being, just taking the small thing in front of us,
mm-hmm.
that's the whole deal,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's where the attention is, in that really small thing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's where the hoe's fallen, you know.
Yeah. Gosh, those every little small things. It reminds me of a quote, I think I've quoted it many times over the years, by I think William James, that I'm done with great things and big things, great
mm-hmm.
institutions and big successes, and for those tiny, invisible, molecular moral forces. You know, then he goes on. But that's what it is. It's those tiny little, seemingly invisible things, but
yeah.
that they are there in that moment, and
yeah.
when we're paying attention, we know it.
Yeah.
We know, you know,
yeah.
without
it. Wow. And no, it just feels so wonderful.
Uh-huh.
You know, I walked away from my hermitage this morning, and I was recording as I was taking a walk, and God, so great. I mean, the minute I picked up the recorder and I started talking, I realized that I had, you know, been in a bit of a story,
yeah.
and that, you know, this I had done a number of things in my hermitage this at that morning that are actually enjoyable, but I had been listening to something else, and I had missed that amazing experience to just be there caring for each, you know, actually for just caring for this person,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
through caring for things in my environment,
yeah.
And I'll never forget. I mean, it doesn't feel like I'll ever forget. I mean, some of the biggest teachings I've gotten haven't been words, but just actions or images, you know. And you know, there's just two images of the guide that will always just stay with me. And they were just like, you know, she wasn't giving a big Dharma talk or anything, but it was, you know, reaching out and picking up an item and putting it lovingly in its place. And seeing her do that more than once, and man, that just it spoke volumes to
mm-hmm.
me. And it
yeah.
still is what resonates in me.
Yes.
And I don't have to figure anything out.
Yeah.
I don't have to, I just have to hold, I mean, I don't know if I have to do anything. That's there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's there.
It's there, and somebody clearly knows that's the whole deal.
Yes. And that somebody or something that clearly knows that's the whole deal pushed that record on the recorder this morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And got that care. Got this person enveloped in that care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really miraculous. But and then I was reminded that it wasn't that long ago you didn't even have any idea that that was even possible to
in a sort of a don't be so hard on yourself kind of way.
Lovely mentor is always there. Just and now was the moment to take that good care. And isn't that a grand thing?
So,
Thanks. Thank you. June. yesterday at home, the last assignment was, I forget how it was worded. Help me with that.
Create the celebration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And earlier, someone in the pod that I was in had this idea about creating a book of upping her game in 2014. Mm-hmm. And apparently, these little photo centers and drugstores or something, or maybe anywhere you can take, they have a process.
Uh-huh.
I guess you take them what you want them to turn into a book, and they'll do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll go that route, but I really like the idea. Mm-hmm. I really I think I'll do that.
Yeah.
And so, let's see, let me tie some things together. I'm sharing this in that reveal what's going on with you way, and it helps.
Uh-huh.
That's number one. Number two is watching conditioning just slam from one side of the thing to the other. And so yesterday when I thought about the book and what I would put in it, there was almost nothing on the screen. All I was hearing was, wow, you had done nothing. You were just, just whatever, nothing. You don't practice, you don't understand the practice, you don't understand what people are talking about when they talk, that whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just sat there,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of turned toward the mentor, recording, and it's just a gadget, but that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So made a great start. And so this morning, sitting here in the group, I didn't watch it, I eventually became aware of that. Pendulum swung to, I am the most spiritually evolved person in the world. These people don't know what they're talking about. And I've watched that swing before.
Uh-huh.
It's almost always on the other side. But every now and then it takes some.
Yeah, so to gain momentum to get back to the other side, right? It's got to get over here so we can whoosh back over here to beat you up.
So, I think that's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah.
So let me reflect some of that back so you get to hear it again. So there's a first of all, the desire to do the book, so that's something that's going on with you, that maybe to do something. And in doing that, and sitting there and looking at it, there was first this blank screen. You haven't done anything all year. There's that side of the pendulum, or the continuum. And then you were aware that it was moving this morning. It was moving over to the other side, where you were just the most evolved, spiritually evolved person in the room, and just watching that happens. And usually it's over on this side, But that it that it, you know, today anyway, it was over on this side, and it's just so, and it's something, it's so good to see that that happens, yeah. And you're that it's being held in awareness.
Yeah, the, to me, the interest, let's see, the kind of intriguing part was seeing the things I could put in the book, the ways I had practiced, the willingness that has been there. Was the trigger for conditioning to take that energy into a totally ridiculous place.
Okay. Yeah. So it was the turning to the mentor and beginning to see all of the things, all of the willingness, all of the things that could go in the book. And that's sort of what how conditioning came in and tried to hijack that energy to go in that other direction. Oh, that is intriguing. Yeah. And to stay with, I project anyway, staying with the whatever's going to go in the book. Just staying with that, staying with the project, staying with what's next, what's arising next, and not even really being all that concerned about what conditioning's trying to do with the energy or not. Putting it out here is a perfect example of that. It's like, you know, because it would want you to sort of just mull it over in the head over and over again. Oh, what does this mean? And da, da, da. But just putting it out there kind of can let it go. I project anyway.
Yeah.
In those images of reaching for something lovingly and putting it back in its place or back in its home, I was just practicing with directing the attention in that way, you know, just lovingly bringing it back to here, to counting the breath. And I guess that's the wellspring that makes it possible to notice something that's on the floor and to hear when life drops in to pick it up. And the fact that we lovingly bring attention.
Yeah, so when we're in that place of that lovingly guiding the attention, it can be guided to anything, because that's the wellspring from which we're living.
And so much was dropping in the workshop yesterday, which was just so amazing and inspiring, around celebration and directing the attention. Like celebration is like allowing something to be expressed fully or to be what it is fully. And so directing the attention is a celebration of all of the capabilities and resources of a human being, that, you know, what a human being can do is direct the attention. And so directing the attention is letting a human be fully what they are and, you know, kind of fully express all that they can do.
So let me see if I'm following you. So what a celebration is really is the process of acknowledging or recognizing everything, the full spectrum of what a human being is and can do, and through directing the attention is how that happens. Is that sort of what you're...
Or that directing the attention is... because we have this capability of directing the attention. And so practicing directing the attention is doing fully all of what a human can do.
It is the celebration.
Yeah.
Yes, directing the attention is the celebration.
Yeah.
Because that's,
And then, you know, as we direct the attention and life lives us more fully, there's the celebration in that like life gets expressed more fully.
Yes, it's opening the channel.
Right.
For life to be fully expressed through this human being, because this is the aperture through which the attention gets directed.
Right, and just how amazing all of that is. And as I was sitting then at the end of the day yesterday, with that attitude of mind of celebration, and the celebration that directing the attention is, I caught the I want to but I can't process happening with directing the attention. that it felt like a kind of very busy energy, uh-huh. like a kind of tense, you know, somebody wanting to, but, you know, it's too hard.
Yeah.
And because, you know, there was that kind of awareness of that process, because we've been listening to Sherry's little piece of writing on the recorder, there was that catching, I want to, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And then just moving into, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, doing the uncoupling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we could write, I want to, but I can't, as all one word, mm-hmm. you know, to remind us that it's all one process in mm-hmm. consciousness. In mm-hmm.
And to bring, splitting that off and just staying with the, I want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just want to reflect the sensation that you yeah. felt was a sort of a rushing or a tenseness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that felt like in the body, that
yeah.
process.
That I want to, but I can't.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was just such a stillness in the, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right there this morning when I woke up that it's, you know, this is, I guess, most days this happens, that there's this like wave of self-hate. Imagine it as a wave just about to crash to shore as the human's waking up. And then maybe like a cowering from that, like, oh no, voice coming again, you know. And there was just a picking up of counting the breath,
just as soon as you awoke.
Yeah, as I kind of possibly could, that I want to, just counting. And then what I got to see was that there was that whole setup of the self-hate like crashing to shore, and then ego, you know, being the victim, cowering from that.
Mm.
It
had nothing to do with you.
Right.
It? Yeah.
Nothing to do
it
with
you. It was this
yeah.
whole process that was happening that just happens. The mm-hmm. self-hate and the cowering, the self-hate mm-hmm. and the victim, the abuse and the victim, all this. And no, I'm counting.
Yeah.
I'm the brand that has nothing to do with me.
Right, yeah. Right. So moving from, because that, oh no, it's happening again, is that I want to, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And just that simplicity of, we know what to do.
Yes.
We know we can do it.
Yes.
Just count the breath.
So simple.
Yeah.
Brief of the where we started the group with gratitude. I'm just so grateful to come together, and that image of the hope is so great, because, you know, it's hard to stay identified through a group. I mean, it's really hard not to, like, use
yeah.
a long period of time to really hold on to
oh,
something.
Yeah. I have to work really hard, really hard.
And I didn't really even realize I was holding on to something, except, you know, the checking in that goes on in a group was just a film of just a slight film of, like, you don't quite belong, you don't really have anything to say,
mm-hmm.
you're doing okay, but these people really are you doing practice? You know, that kind of stuff, and, you know, the I was listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that image of that was like, whoa, I'm participating with that. Like, I didn't even,
yeah.
it's just so crazy that movement from identification and disidentification, it was like, oh, I don't need to hold on to
that. No, I don't want to, yeah, exactly. I want to throw that hoe down. Yeah, exactly. Oh, just have it. I just habitually use
oh,
this
totally.
Tool. And I
absolutely.
Don't really need it.
Yeah. That's so great. And then, you know, what I love to do is, like, well, what's really going on? Well, I'm actually really happy.
Uh-huh.
And I feel a deep sense of belonging here
mm-hmm.
and a tremendous amount of gratitude. And I practice like I've never practiced in my life. So
mm-hmm.
there we go.
Yeah. So there, I think that's what I'll cultivate. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's what I'll dig and prune and plant. And, yeah.
Gosh, if I could just get that tattooed somewhere that it's always saying the opposite of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that would be the clue.
Yeah, that's really true. Well, and every time you say it or do it, that intention itself is sort of an internal tattoo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, put it on
yeah.
the recorder, the opposite, you know, when you're in Sherry's blog in the recorder again, you know, all of that is the, well, to get back to our Tuesday night, the forming of the new grooves in the brain.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Well, one of the things that came up in the discussion when we were talking about that, you know, I want to, but I can't. Mm-hmm. What was occurring to me is that, you know, if we hear that, that it, a way to reframe it that is more accurate is I want to, but I'm buying into the story that I can't.
Can.
You know?
Yeah.
And it, just a similar lines from what was just being talked about at the beginning of the workshop yesterday. You know, which I was looking forward to, and you know, as far as I could tell, nothing was going on. And then the workshop started, and the first few people that talked, all of a sudden, this very familiar thing came up of just sort of this, you know, they were really excited and lit up people, and this kind of thing that came in is just like, oh, please. It's just, you know, and I thought, you know, and I it was so familiar because there's a, you know, one of the sort of, it's in the long lines of I want to, but I can't, but it's just one of those, this is who I am. Uh-huh. I am not the kind of person who,
yeah.
you know, is, yeah. you know, this, yeah. I'm a person who's much more muted
calm.
Than that.
Well,
and,
I bubbly, no.
And, yeah. and basically was not allowed to be that kind
yeah.
of person, you know, and became very suspicious of that kind of person.
Well, yeah.
Because people who were like that in her life were not coming from a place that was genuine. So, you know,
so
but
you
I just...
were taught.
So I was taught. Mm-hmm. I was taught. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes up, that's who comes up. But yesterday, I didn't go anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon I was participating and it wasn't there, you mm-hmm. know. And but it really was one of those, you know, I want to be that way, but someone has believed they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, I'm buying the belief that mm-hmm. I can't.
You know? Wow, it brings in several things that we've been, themes that we've been talking about this morning. One is how it was just able to be there mm-hmm. and fall on the tile and not get fueled,
right.
and so it just moved on.
Right.
And then you're also able to see that victim process that can happen of the I want to but I can't. And I'm projecting that they are intimately linked because
yes.
had it been able to be fueled, we would never have been able to see how that process keeps, you know, that
yeah.
identity
yeah.
in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in the past, I've it has been fueled.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, and I mean, I could spend all day and you know,
mm-hmm. being that non
right being that wet blanket
that wet blanket there you go yeah I want to really be this identity all day
that's
there,
right
that's what
right.
it was but
yeah.
that
yeah.
didn't happen it was
yeah.
just recognized that that's
yeah just saying wow I didn't know that was going to show up
yeah
you
okay.
know but it did and I'm not gonna I'm not gonna let that ruin the day
yeah
you know?
Yeah wow
it's not that big a deal really
the fruits of practice huh?
Yeah, and interesting to see that message that, you know, this being is not supposed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also noticing the situations in which this being is like that.
Yeah.
It's not like I never am.
Yeah.
You know?
And just, yeah, and it may be fun just to drive conditioning crazy just to kind of put that on and, you know, for a period of time every day. Okay, I'm going
right.
to
I'm going to be one of those people.
Yeah.
Now.
I'm gonna practice being those people right now. Yeah. At will.
You
know?
That's right.
Ooh, conditioning, I hate that.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. 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 It's, and, you know, and there's any number of things like that, you know. Oh, no, I'm, you know, and there's some recording that I've been listening to lately, some one of the readings, I don't remember which, whether it was a blog or a weekly reading or whatever, but it was about, you know, being aware of the I'm the kind of person who,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not the kind of person who.
Yeah. It's a dead giveaway, isn't it, that there's an identity there that's
yes.
being
yeah.
established.
Being maintained.
Being maintained, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good
yeah.
clue.
Yeah.